It's Monday, August 22nd, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, show number 698. We're only two away from show 700. Hey everyone, Geek News Central is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com, the world's largest web register. You can save a lot of money by using my promo codes by going over to GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Also by Citrix, GoToMeeting, the world's best web conferencing solution with HD faces. Get a free 30-day trial by going over to GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. Also by Carbonite.com. Don't have any more backup worries ever. Get your free 15-day free trial by going to Carbonite.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code TPN. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, everyone, I got a great show lined up for you tonight. Yes, we're mobile and having all kinds of fun. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
Coming to you from a dimly lit hotel room with bad Wi-Fi and not enough power outlets, here's everyone's favorite jet-lagged geek, Todd Cochran.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from Albuquerque, New Mexico, via the Geek News Central Portable Studio. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran, and I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all the great content over there, along with our archive podcasts available via the podcast link on the website. You'll want to get subscribed to the show by simply going to the second column of the website at Geek News Central, and basically subscribing via iTunes, Zune Marketplace, or just catch the RSS feed for the show that you want to subscribe to and get subscribed. Signing up for the newsletter is simple as well. You'll find a link on the website to the newsletter. The newsletter will contain everything that I cover during the show tonight. And basically, I email it immediately following the show being published. That way, you'll have basically all the show notes in your inbox, and also as a great reminder that there's a new show on the street. Well, yes, I'm here in Albuquerque, New Mexico with the Portable Studio, and we are not live streaming at this very moment. The reason is I'm trying a new video capture process tonight, and to guarantee that I'm going to get a super high quality version of the show. We'll see, but the audio on that video recording looks like it's running plenty hot, so we may end up having to do more work than I thought I was going to, but we're going to restream the show after the show. So if it makes any sense, those of you that are, if you're watching the stream right now, I'm probably watching, but we're in replay mode. For those of you that are watching on the Roku or the Boxy, don't worry. This is the way it always is here. And just want to make sure we kept the video rocking while I was on travel. For those rest of you listening, thank you for being here. And of course, we want to give a warm welcome to all of the Ohana and listeners around the world. Thanks for staying subscribed and being a part of the family as our very close march to 700 continues. Well, I tell you, I've got lots of stuff to share with you here, and we're going to have a special contest for show number 700. Some of you have already saw the posting over at geeknewscentral.com. This is a great way to win some prizes. It's not going to take you very long to fill it out, but we'll talk about it here in just a few moments. But first of all, I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central, and we have a special deal for you this month where you can save 30% on your own reseller account. Become your own independent domain reseller, and it's a great way to set up business. It's a great way to make some money, and I want you to really consider it. I'll have the offer code up in the show notes, of course. And of course, if you're looking for any promo code from GoDaddy, you'll definitely want to visit my website. Go to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. There's a promo code there for every occasion, whether it be a birthday present, whether it be an upcoming anniversary, whether it be something that you need to secure your website with. I tell you, we've got a code for you, whether it be domain names, hosting accounts, SSL certificates. We've got it, and there's a code there for every occasion. We want to thank you for your longtime support of GoDaddy, and of course, we encourage you to use our codes and provide us feedback on how you like the service at GoDaddy. We were doing some, basically, well, I was making some sales papers up to basically show performance and how we've performed over the years with GoDaddy. They provide me a report every month on how many new customers I have, and I've got those all the way back to June of 2005 when GoDaddy became a sponsor here on the show. And let me tell you something, I'm really glad that I have that that detailed information. And it was really kind of a cool exercise to see how many tens of thousands of people have signed up to become a GoDaddy customer because of listening to the show. And we want to thank all of you for that have and continue to be longtime customers over there. What else is going on here? Well, let's talk about the show 700 contest. I put a post up on the website yesterday that asked 15 questions about the show. Some of you that have been, some of you that have been a listener here for a long time will be able to answer a lot of those questions. Some of you that have only been here listening to the show may be able to answer just a few. But I'm going to try to give you some hints over the next two shows to some of those answers. I'm not requiring you to answer all of them correctly. Just give it your best shot. And I always like to see how people will come out with their answers and responses. And it just goes to show how good your memories are. Now, we've gotten about a dozen inputs already. And I'm going to tell you, we got some hardcore fans that basically remember pretty much everything. And I didn't make this hard. It's stuff that we've talked about on, you know, prior 100 episodes. Every 100 episodes we've talked about looking back. And but there's some good stuff in there. And I think that as I looked at, as I was actually coming up with the questions for the contest, I was kind of like, wow, I've only missed that many days or in a row. And one of the questions was what was the maximum amount of time I took off from doing a show? And the number's pretty small. So I've been here like clockwork, and you know, obviously there's times when I take off a couple of shows for CES. I've taken a little I've taken one real vacation during the entire time. I've been doing the show now for 7 years. Oh, that's pretty sad, isn't it? One real vacation, plus of course the time I had when my father died. But it's just a testament that I'm here for you, and putting the show together twice a week is my pleasure. Of course, this show comes out every Tuesday and Friday morning, and is also part of a new family of shows over at Geekness Central. We've got Robot Underpants. It's released every Monday. Then we have the Gadget Professor every Thursday, and of course Saturday Morning Tech on Saturdays, and of course the Chrome Show on Sundays as well. Now, depending on when I'm home, will depend on when I do the latter two shows. And this weekend there will be no Saturday Morning Tech, but Andy McCaskey and I did a Saturday Morning Tech this previous Saturday, which was turned out pretty nice. I think it's got some good info in there for you, and we just, you know, kind of just have fun with the show. I think you will enjoy it, and it's informal, informal method. Don't forget as well, we've got Carbonite here as a sponsor. And all it takes is one hard drive in a computer that crashes, where you lose data, that you will absolutely scream at the top of your lungs in agony if that data is not securely backed up. I've been using Carbonite now just a couple of weeks before they came on as a sponsor, and totally astounded by the backup process. Now, I have it set up on this laptop as well, because I have it on my home machine, have it on this laptop, I have it on one other machine as well, just because it really was a no-brainer to run it. And one thing that I know on laptops are really notoriously for blowing hard drives, even more susceptible than a desktop is, just because of their size. I've always said that a laptop hard drive, if it lasts 2 years, you're doing good. So become a Carbonite customer and get that 15-day free trial on me. And then by using that promo code TPN, when you go to buy Carbonite, they're going to give you 14 months for the price of 12. It's $59 to get started. And well, actually, it's $59 for a computer, unlimited backup. And I think that you'll, once you've got it installed and are running it, you're going to say, wow, this is a lot easier than anything else I'm using. And plus, it's in the cloud. Now, I want you to think about this, too. Let's say you already have an on-site backup strategy. Let's say you're backing up to a Windows Home server or you're backing up to another hard drive. What happens if the house burns down? Or you get robbed and a hard drive gets stolen? That is worse, really. But you'll know if your data is backed up by Carbonite that you're going to have access to it and you're going to be able to re-download it. So definitely get over to Carbonite.com, try it free, use the promo code TPN, and you'll get that free two-month credit when you become a new customer. Hey, I'll talk just a second about the Plank Owner Program. The folks that are... I got this package, and it was very heavy. And I'm thinking, first of all, I'm thinking heavy shipping to Hawaii up to 1,000 pieces. This could be very expensive in shipping. I looked at, they shipped it via UPS ground. UPS second day air. I went and did the pricing on it. I started pricing what I think the brick cost is going to be. And I'm really having, what they sent me was 2x4s. Nice wood 2x4s, nice color. My wife and I talked about it quite a bit, and I don't know. I don't know if it's the right fit for the show. We also did some pseudo mock-up on where the new studio would be built, the amount of room that we would have, and whether or not, first of all, we could fit 1,000 planks in the new studio. And we don't think we can. We don't think we can do that. So we're reevaluating and maybe coming up with some different options. I'm open to suggestions. I like the plank owner idea because it's nautical. But the planks look like bricks, and it's just too close to what Leo did. And I'm already coming way close to being a copycat in his fundraiser. So, you know, I don't know. They just didn't quite get to where I thought they were going to be. Especially I'd asked for thin ones. I didn't ask for 2x4s. I don't know if it's in their rigging or whatever that they have to do thicker ones, but I don't think it's going to be the way I really want to go with this. So we're going to kind of go back to the drawing board. And if you have ideas, email me here at the show at geeknews@gmail.com. You know, I got a huge number of you that already said, hey, we're in. We want to support. So I want to do something, though, where people will get recognition for that. I don't know if that means a wall and a plaque or what exactly it's going to equal to. But definitely going to have to look at that and make a decision. Got a very full week here in Albuquerque. I think what we're going to be doing is Pete, Jay, and Sam. I think we're going to try to do Wednesday night. It will be our meetup. I'll email you guys after the show. Just looking at my schedule here and everything going on, I think Wednesday is going to work the best. And that was the day that pretty much everyone, I don't know, Sam, I think you may have had a conflict Wednesday night. If you did, you and I can do lunch maybe on Friday, and we'll work it out. But I think Pete, Jay, and Sam were going to do dinner, and I'll email you. I did get myself a Frontier burrito, and I'm pretty excited that I got some good green chilies on that. It was good. It really, really was. So I've had my Frontier burrito fix here in Albuquerque, and so I'm sure I'll hit that at least one more time before I go back to Honolulu. I got a lot of content here for you tonight. Started off, I was ready to go at the regular time, but good old Chrome decided that it wanted to, Flash wanted to crash. Or did crash, and whenever Flash crashes, man, it just makes for a pain in the okoli because I have to restart Chrome completely. But I think everything's loaded up here, and I think we're ready to rock and roll into the regular content tonight. I'm pretty excited because Google TV announced today that they've added on a Android software development kit that is going to support Google TV. And wow, I immediately sent that off to Angelo and Cameron, of course, Angelo's our CIO at Robvoice, and Cameron is one of our lead developers as well, and said, hey guys, here this is, go get it, get on it, make sure we're good. You know, we've already pre-built our apps, so we think we're really close. We'll just probably have to do some tweaking and follow the instructions in the SDK, but I cannot wait, because it looks like Google TV is coming for an upgrade here very soon with Honeycomb, and I want to be ready from day one so that we can raise the green flag and say, hey, we're on Google TV as well. Get over there and pick up the app and add it to your lineup on your Google TV device. And again, we're going to be giving away some great prizes on show 700. I think one of those prizes is going to be a Google TV. I probably have some other devices as well. And if you want to basically donate anything for show 700, email me at geeknews@gmail.com. You know, one thing I'm finding out is we are, as a family, we're trying to figure out which streaming audio service to use as a family. And, you know, my kids don't want to deal with my playlist. My wife wants her own separate playlist. We all kind of want our own logins. So we're really kind of scratching our head a little bit. But I saw today on Wired that the folks at Radio, RDIO, have launched a unique family plan for digital music, which allows three accounts for $23 per month, which is not too bad, even considering what Spotify would cost per month. You can add an additional account for $10. So I like the ability to have essentially one plan, and as long as they have it, and I've never used Radio before, RDIO, so I'd love to hear some feedback. Any of you that are using it, do you like it, and how does their apps work with devices? If you got any feedback for me, I'd love to hear your feedback on this and trying to make a decision on how to go with a family plan. Hey, over on Engadget, they announced that over-the-top video already more popular than DVRs. I thought that was pretty big news. Research firm Magna Global announced a few weeks ago, but really just set in that about 13 million more American households use over-the-top video services like Netflix than own a DVR, which is pretty cool. Now, we've always known that DVRs are great. I have had one in the house when we were still connected to the cable provider. But, we've went completely streaming. As a matter of fact, I had a Saturday afternoon, I had a knock at the door, and it was Hawaiian Telecom. And they said, hey, Todd, I'm like, how do you know my name? So I'm your local area salesman, and we just installed the brand new cable TV offering. And so, I basically told him I'd already cut the cord from Time Warner, that all we had was the internet access. And then he dropped the bombshell on me. He says, well, if you get this new service, we have now internet speeds up to 30 megs. And I said, 30 megs? I said, right now the max you can deliver to me is about 3 or 4 down and about a meg and a half up. I said, what's the up speed? He said, I think it's 2 megs up. And I said, can you guarantee me that I'm going to get 30 megs down? Because he wouldn't let me buy the internet by itself, which is questionable to me. So I'm actually going to call Hawaiian Telecom when I get home and get a conversation with them. I don't want the cable TV package, but he had high-speed internet and television with a basic television package of 250 channels for $69. And I thought, now here's my ulterior motive. I don't care about the television. I want the 30 meg and 2 up. That's what I want. So don't say anything. That's what I really want for the service. I could, if we get TV back, maybe I have a couple more happy kids or something. And I'd be willing to pay for 2 megs up. $69 is, that makes it worth it for me. I can actually, it would be good. And I'm already paying a certain amount of money for my DSL connection. So I'm hoping that what they say is true. Now, I said, okay, how can you get 30 megs when you can't get it now? He says, this is all brand new service. It's a new technology. He says, we got fiber less than a half a mile from your house. And I'm thinking, okay, that's he says half mile. You know, mile is still, that's still 2,500 or 2,600 some feet. So, all right, what's it really going to be? And he went and commit to a speed. But I said, your technician's in the area. Why don't you have him come down and test the line and tell me what it's going to be? You know, tell me now before I order it. So it's a 30-day guarantee. And I can turn it off. And so I might be having some more bandwidth at the house. I'm hoping so. Because gosh knows we need it. I need it in a big way. It reminds me, I was watching the Twit party, and for the Brick Twit House, I was sitting here watching the stream in the hotel room, and heard Leo say that he was able to get 35 megs up and down, symmetrical with a service level agreement. It's only costing him $1,000 a month to do 35 megs up and down commercial. And my mouth dropped open. The whole chat room on the Twit chat room went crazy. People couldn't believe it either. I don't know if he made a slip and wasn't supposed to say what he's getting that bandwidth for, but you know, some of you that are on Fios are like, Todd, that's slow. But for a commercial service, 35 meg symmetrical with a guaranteed SLA at $1,000 a month, sign me up. Sign me up for two. Actually, just sign me up for one. I would kill everything else. And what a deal. What a deal. I was just like, I couldn't believe it. But anyway, going back to this article about OTT, they're saying that that OTT now is basically streaming Netflix and different types of services is really taking off. So it's grown 33% to 63.1 million consumers in the United States are streaming videos now. And there's actually a good article I have reference to a little later in the show that talks about some things Akamai is worried about when it comes to what may be hold the future for streaming video and some of the challenges. There's a good article on Voice IP Watch that came out a couple of days ago, and this individual has some good points. He said, over the past few months, I've been privately sharing my thoughts on how wireless landscape changes with the looming AT&T T-Mobile merger. And then he goes on to talk about the news coming out that Sprint was talking with the cable providers and potentially looking to take over Clearwire. He says, first, the AT&T, and I got to read this because unless I do, it won't make make sense. He says, first, the AT&T merger with T-Mobile happens. It will come at a price, and that price is competition. The way it works is T-Mobile and AT&T will be forced to invest a percentage of their market where they have, say, more than 50% market share combined. The divestor will go to guess who? He says, the cable guys who have the cash, and as soon as they buy up Clearwire, a lot of spectrum to run LTE. Next up is the spectrum itself. AT&T has little use for the AWS spectrum from T-Mobile that goes to, and he says, guess where? To the cable guys. So he says, so now it's what you would expect, but this is where the really interesting play comes. If Google buys Sprint with the cable guys, that means they're all in the bed together, and Sprint is the most inventive of the four major wireless companies, so this could be a chance where Google could get in the game and roll out their own broadband service. Would that be cool or what? Now, the thing is, it's wireless. And can they achieve the speeds that they really want to? And this kind of ties into this next article that was over on... did I bring up the wrong one? Of course, this thing is... Google Chrome is not responding. You gotta be kidding me. Disk caching here going on. I'm sure that just jacked the recording. So, I thought I brought this article up close so I'd have it linked together. So, Okay, so basically, see if I can remember what that article was. Doggone it, I had it right there next to it as a segue into this conversation I wanted to have. And what did I do with it? Well, I guess let's go back and let's look at where we've come from with everything. And this is, I guess, this next article kind of ties in, but it wasn't the article I was wanting to segue to. Over on Ars, they've got an article talking about remembering the long-distance warrior who took down Ma Bell. And, of course, that long-distance warrior was MCI. In the mid-70s, you know, it was very expensive to make a phone call. If you picked up the phone and you dialed long distance for 3 minutes, it may have been $1.50, or as much as $12. And then you moved into the next minute, it might be another $4. And but there was a company that just came in and shook up the market, and that was MCI. And those of you that remember, we've talked about this on the show before. MCI really played hardball. They had the political savviness and the money to basically come in and make a play so that the markets, there would be competition, and MCI was able to use AT&T's lines and get into their switching facilities and so forth. But prior to really the breakup of Bell and everyone else, if you wanted to use an alternative long-distance carrier like Sprint or even MCI, what you had to do is you had to dial like 10220 and then the area code and a telephone number in order to get your phone on a different pathway to be able to be on MCI. And that was even maybe in the early 80s. But I know in about 1987, pretty much nationwide, everyone had to make a decision on which long-distance carrier they had, and we had ballots. I talked about that in the previous show where I basically was selling MCI. I made one heck of a lot of money selling MCI. That was a couple of very good years as a young entrepreneur with a small new business, and my business was called, I had just came back from Guam, and my business was called Half a Day Exchange. That was real creative, but anyway, Half a Day Exchange as a company made huge. We made a lot of money, and I had, first time I ever had to write a $9,000 check back to the federal government at the end of the year because I underpaid on my taxes. But long story short, the whole MCI scenario changed the landscape forever. And many of you that remember those days saw your price of your bills steadily decrease. Now, what I loved about the MCI deal and the plan I had it through, or the company I worked with, is I got residual income. I got 10% of every long-distance dollar people spent. So for about 10 years, I got a residual check every month from those original people that signed up with MCI with me and the people that I hired. So MCI really allowed competition. And we're getting to the point now where there are going to be so few companies again with broadband and everything else. I know some of you have two or three choices, but most of us don't. Are we getting to a segment in time where these companies are going to continue to solidify in together, and we're going to be back into some sort of a breakup and some sort of FCC action that is going to protect us consumers? It's a different time, but the AT&T chairman back in those days, his name was John D. Butts. Yes, John D. Butts was his name. In the late 70s, he didn't take MCI seriously, and so there was, you know, a huge movement, and it really changed everything for consumers. When I was dating my wife, our long-distance bills back and forth, when she was in Japan, I was in Guam, I think hers would be $400 to $800 a month. Mine was $400 or $500 a month. You know, that was 15 years ago, 17 years ago, 18 years ago. And better be careful here on my dates. But long story short, you know, now we can call for free on Skype. So there's really the competition part on long distance is long, long, long gone. But I'm just trying to bring this back into the mobile and the internet side. And at what point do we see some sort of action? And some people claim there's competition. Maybe in Hawaii, maybe I'll finally have competition with this new offering. Maybe I'm off base here. But who's going to be the next person that's going to take one of these major companies down and come in and change the landscape for all of us? Is that going to be Google? Are they going to be able to come in and help us unlock this slow internet speed that we're falling behind here in the United States? I think, what are we, ranked 13th or something right now? Are we going to ever be able to catch up with like South Korea or Japan? Are we going to be able to catch up to them? I don't know. That's a question for all of you guys to provide me feedback with. But geeknews@gmail.com. Love to hear guys' feedback on this. And, you know, am I on base? Or am I on track? Are you worried? Are you worried about stifling of innovation? Because we're already seeing the mobile providers cap us on bandwidth. You know, does there have to have something happen that's big to make us jump to the next level? This goes back to a conversation I was having. Probably wasn't a very positive conversation. I was talking with a gal on Google Plus that I knew in Hawaii, who was basically bragging about this new initiative the governor is getting ready supposedly to announce about diversification of internet, making internet the next big thing that would help Hawaii to move forward. And I'm pretty negative. I was basically like, the government hasn't done crap. And I didn't say crap. I said another word. And I said, we're already too far in debt. How, you know, this state is not business friendly. I mean, I just went off. And, you know, what you go back to this conversation or this thing I heard with Leo saying he's getting 35 meg up and down for $1,000. If I was trying to buy that in Hawaii, my cost would be like $25,000 a month for that type of speed. But yet people that aren't owning businesses, people that are not trying to build the economy and hire people and come up with new innovative stuff, they see it as they're connected to their Roadrunner account, and they don't understand how these broadband limitations are holding companies back. You know, when I have to do a multiplication of 10 to everything that I'm doing, it's frustrating. Some of you say, Todd, just leave Hawaii. Well, then I would never be able to launch the Hawaii Entertainment Network. Got to be in Hawaii to do that. But, you know, from something I originally thought was going to cost $250,000 to get off the ground to now where it's closer to $2.5 million to get off the ground, it's a pretty amazing big number change for sure. All right, I'll stop and move on here. Sorry, I've digressed way too far. Let's talk about a new feature on Twitter. Twitter's improved photo sharing again with user photo galleries. So I guess Twitter now aggregates all the photos that you've shared across a bunch of different image hosts, including Twitter's own photo service. You can also see it from Instagram, TwitPic, YFrog. Oh, I guess Twitter owns those. I didn't know they owned Instagram. Into a single gallery on your profile page. Pretty useful, but I don't know. I guess I'll have to check it out. I don't think I posted links to too many photos on Twitter. Facebook engineers have a novel idea to help us save some money. They've decided, hey, when hard drives are, in these big, vast data centers, when hard drives are not being accessed, being tactically accessed, why don't we have a way to slow the hard drive spin rate down in order to save energy? That way, they don't have to go into a cold state where they have to spin up and, it takes a few seconds, where they actually slow down, use less energy, and then don't spin up when they need to and then spin back down. I think that's a great idea. Solid state drives may be the future too, but solid state drives are definitely too expensive. Here's a doggone article I wanted to talk about. the article that's on over on GigaOM, basically, because it is broadband, the gateway drug for the web or the drug itself. You know that Google's deploying fiber to the home networks in Kansas City, Kansas, and then later in Kansas City, Missouri. If anybody got any listeners in Kansas City, Kansas, or Kansas City, Missouri, do you think when you, okay, this is just a general question to everyone. The next time you're getting ready to move and moving to a new home, is the speed of the internet available in the community that you move into going to be a decision factor on whether or not you buy a house? Will you think that you would be willing to pay more money for a fiber-connected home as compared to a home that was only on DSL? Would that increase the value? And if so, how much? So that's what I really, let's look at U.S. house markets. Let's say that, let's just use a price, let's throw a price out there. Let's say you're going to be living, and I don't know what the national median price for a house is in Kansas City. Let's just use $150,000 as a number. If the house on two identical houses, one was $150 and one was $170, and the one for $170 had fiber in it, would you be willing to pay the extra $20,000 to be in a house that has fiber? Would you really be willing to do that? And I know that's a big, maybe that's not, or let's make the delta bigger. What about $180,000? What would the separation be? Where would the pain point have to come in order for you to make the decision? I know if I ever move to another house, that's going to be the first question that I ask. What kind of broadband do you have here? What is the access speed? How fast can it go? If the agent doesn't know, I'm going to walk out. So anyway, it was just two tabs down. How did I miss that? Hey, there's a good article here about mobile advertising and the battle for the sexes. They're saying that the ladies have an average click-through rate of 1.65%, and the fellas, you're clicking through at 2.73. And the girls, when they're getting ready to use apps, the effective CPM is $1.44, a click-through rate of 2.97. And when it comes to games, the effective CPM is basically how much it costs to have someone make an action on something. So really, from that perspective, the guys are much cheaper to sell to than it is the ladies, because I look here, the comparable number for the gals was $1.44 effective CPM, and the boys was $1.04. And what it really boils down to is how much is it costing someone to get you as a customer. And it's also understandable that both men and women prefer different types of apps, but what is more interesting is the different return that developers generate based on app category. So essentially, when it comes to Android, what they're seeing on purchases of different products is that the guys on Android are definitely leading the pack. And when it comes to the iPhone, it's almost about the same. But when it comes to BlackBerry, the gals are leading the pack when it comes to app purchases in the same categories. And on Symbian, it's about the same. So pretty cool little infographic here, and it's based on gender and user-based operating system differences and buying of different types of applications. So pretty cool stuff. Hey, I want to say congratulations to Nick Bradbury. Of course, Nick has been around for a long time. He was the author, or is the author, of Feed Demon. He's also the creator of Homesite and Top Style. But Nick has been working on an app that I'm really excited to give a try. And if those of you that are Android users, you're going to want to check this app out. It's made the rounds today. It's called Glassboard. And this is pretty cool. You know, group apps, group messaging, group collaboration apps are really the rage right now. Of course, Skype just picked up GroupMe yesterday. But this is a group sharing app that values privacy above all else. And the end result is an app called Glassboard that was launched today on Android, iPhone, and Windows Phone 7. Nick had actually written the Android portion of it, and he goes into the challenges of writing for this particular operating system. But I won't go into the details of that, but he does say this is why there's been no new updates to Feed Demon. and some of his other apps. But congratulations to Nick for doing that. Great guy, and I'm sure it's going to be a great app. So I'll be loading it out and checking it out. Now, this is in the conspiracy compartment. Conspiracy department, not compartment. A former WikiLeaks spokesperson destroyed more than 3,500 unpublished documents. Well, why would he do that? Why would he destroy a bunch of apps? That is the question. Did he get pressured by the government? Not a lot of details here on what happened, but this is a article that's over on Wired, and they go into some detail on this. But now I have the link up in the show notes. But it's over 5 gigs of data, and may have included some no-fly list people. So I'm sure Uncle Sam was not at all pressuring this individual not to publish that. So just imagine, you see that list and you figure out every name that's on the no-fly list would not be good. On a win front for all of us, a judge has okayed unlicensed cloud music storage service. So the folks over at MP3 Tunes was the company that the RIAA went after, but the judge has basically said, hey, you can't allow them not to do business. So the federal judge backed the music storage locker business model today while ruling that companies may develop services that store their customers' songs in the cloud. So that's a good ruling for Amazon and for Apple. So it's good on that. Now, they may be in trouble for another little issue, but we'll see where that goes. All right, here's a question that's being asked on Tech Dirt that I need all of you guys to consider. Would you volunteer for an organization, you know, not hired by, but a volunteer for an organization that makes you sign away your rights to say anything negative about it? Paul Levy alerts the news that Save a Pet is making volunteers sign an extremely overbroad form forbidding them from saying pretty much anything negative about the organization or anyone associated with it. So, this is pretty, you read through the language here. According to the form, a recent policy change requires volunteers to sign a form giving up their rights to post any comment or picture about any employee, volunteer, or client of Save a Pet without their consent. Volunteers must also agree not to post any negative comments or pictures involving any resident, nor post any comment that could be construed as harassment of the public, volunteer, staff, nor use Save a Pet logo organizational material except on approved Save a Pet flyer. Volunteers who have questions about whether information is confidential or whether any posting is otherwise appropriate are directed to ask the chief administrator for guidance. Wow. So you're signing something that's giving your First Amendment rights up. I'm sure some of you have got some of that with your current employer. If you want a job, then some of that goes with the territory. But a volunteer organization where you can never say anything negative? More news out of New Zealand. Another New Zealand ISP has basically said this is completely ridiculous what's going on with the three-strike rule. The head of New Zealand's Telstra Clears and denounced New Zealand's ridiculous new three-strike law. So it's the second ISP head to basically come out and say basically bad things about it. So see where that goes. This is an interesting one. Web surfing at work can boost productivity. The Wall Street Journal reports on a study into productivity and efficiency in the workplace, which found that people who are given a break to surf the web return to their work with lower levels of mental exhaustion, boredom, and higher levels of engagement. Here's what it is. And don't take this the wrong way, okay? But I want you to really follow me here. Have you ever tried to go 24 hours without checking your email? Can you do it? Can you go 12 hours without checking your email? How about 6, 4, 2, 1, 30 minutes, 15 minutes? How often do you have to check your email? Do you start feeling nervous if you don't? Do you start feeling antsy, uptight, anxious? Well, here's the thing. This is my theory on this. I think we're all pretty much addicted to the web. And just like, and this could be in a bad way too, just like some illicit drugs, it has negative effects on us. And I think that when people do a quick break to the web and get their internet fix and go check and see what's on Facebook or on Twitter or something like that, it's kind of like a, I've checked, I'm okay, I'm not missing anything, or I've answered a question, and now I can move on. One thing I'm learning is that writing a multiple paragraph email, especially where I ask multiple questions in the email, often never now get responded to correctly. I will get a response on the first paragraph, and very rarely will I get a response to a question asked in the second paragraph. So I've actually found that I've had to change the way I do emails, and I have to be very explicit. And what I do with like podcasting campaigns now is I have to tell the podcaster, do you understand? Do you understand? Do you agree? Do you understand? Do you agree? And I have to make these like hardcore points. And then I say, okay, if you agree to this, respond to the email, put your name, put your, you know, this extra info. And the final question is, have you read all of the previous points? Do you agree and do you understand? And it's almost like I have to be very forceful. And I don't even want to say militaristic because, you know, I've been retired from military and I don't want to come across as a, you know, this, this, and this. But if you don't, people are like, their attention spans is about that much. They're like a gnat. I mean, we all live in a Twitter world. So, you know, I have to come out with very strong language. And it drives me crazy. And this is, you know, emails to clients. It's everyone. Oftentimes I'll reply and say, you're asking me something I covered in paragraph 3. Will you go back and reread paragraph 3? And I get, oh, yeah, I didn't see that. And maybe I'm not a captive writer. Maybe I don't come across good. But I'm going to tell you, people do not. You have to do short emails. We as a society have really moved off the mark, and it's a dangerous thing. I really think it is. And I force myself now, when it's like this type of, when I'm doing the show, I've had to slow down and read the articles and make sure that I've gotten all the details. You know, like tonight I have a problem with the browser loading the articles. I had this Wired article that I was going to discuss more in depth, and I knew what the key points, I knew the part of the page I needed to go to get my quote that I wanted to bring to you, and essentially I couldn't because the doggone browser wouldn't move. And here's another one. I've got an article that was over on IBTimes.com, and while I know what this story is, it's basically saying that we as our in the past, 1.9 million years ago, there's proof now that we started cooking. We actually were cooking our meat and vegetables, and this is probably why we don't have teeth the size of tigers in our mouth. Where we have smaller teeth is because we've been cooking our food for 1.9 million years. So I thought that was pretty funny. Anyway, the article is in IB Times. Now, what's going on here? Are we not wanting to load some of the articles? Yes, I guess so. Okay, so Extreme Tech article. Even though I don't have the page downloaded, I read this in about 5 places today. Download.com used to be the place to go get software. You need to avoid that place like the plague right now. Do not, I repeat, do not download software from download.com. Apparently, they're being packaged with bloatware. And some had said malware. I wouldn't go that far in my assessment. But download.com is trying to do everything they can to drive sales and keep that afloat. Makes me wonder if I need to load the BBS up and start cataloging a shareware again. But download.com, there's a bunch of articles today saying stay away from it. And if you do go over there, be careful, okay? How many of you are stuck with an HP touchpad? Are you taking it back, or did you pick one up for $99? Well, five things you can do with your touchpad. I'll have a link to that. That's an article over on Extreme Tech. Hey, when I was flying over here, the guy that was sitting next to me, he was an engineer, aircraft engine engineer from GE. And so while I, you know, had a captive audience there, I asked him, I says, you know, I read where GE was offshoring their engine assembly to China. And what do you think about that? Oh, my goodness. Did I open up a tirade of comments? This guy, he really dialed me in. He said basically to me, he says, you know, Todd, he says, I have 5 years left. That's about all I've got left as a job. I said, he says, I need about 15 more years to make my retirement. He says, I'm afraid with what GE has done in sending the aircraft manufacturing to China, that when they get the Chinese engineers dialed in and have transferred all the intellectual property, he said, 5 years, they're not going to need me. They'll be able to pay a Chinese engineer much less money than they pay me. And he says, on top of that, he says, I'm sure within 10 years that GE will probably be in big trouble from an aircraft engine manufacturing standpoint. He says, because we've just transferred all the intellectual property of our motors to the Chinese company that's basically helping us build our offshore assembly facility. And he said, that stuff's going to be stolen, and the Chinese will reverse engineer everything. You see, every blade, every part in the plant will be reverse engineered, and they've got the drawings. He says, you know, we're screwed. And he says he just can't understand what GE is thinking. Now, there's a good article over on Computer World that kind of does the flip-flop here. We know that GE has been offshoring a lot of things, but they announced today that they're going to hire 1,100 American IT workers in Van Buren Township in Michigan. Now, Van Buren Township, I think is, oh boy, I can't remember, but I think it's near Jackson, if I'm correct, near Jackson, Michigan. But they're going to be signing or basically hiring 1,100 technologists and researchers. Now, I don't know what that really means, what kind of a job that really is. But for those of you that are IT folks, you're definitely going to want to keep abreast of these job hires in Michigan, especially if you're in Michigan and need a job. All right. Hey, the FTC commissioner is calling for a new do not track approach. And essentially, J. Thomas Rush, a Republican commissioner, was appointed in 2006, suggesting that the best way to create a do-not-track mechanism for the web would be for the FTC to require all advertising networks to disclose what they do. I think that would be awesome. We'll disclose. We'll tell what we do. We tell how we determine, get demographic and information on how we target the advertising on shows. It's no secret formula, but we don't do nasty stuff like setting cookies and follow you around. We just know when you download the show, we pretty much can, you know, plus survey answers and all that stuff, we can tell what the demo of our audiences is. Now, we can't target you individually, but we can come as a group. Obviously, you guys are a tech audience. You like listening to tech stuff, right? That's not too hard to figure out. All right, Vudu tops Amazon Movie Store and share. Number one is Apple iTunes. Number two is Microsoft Zune Video Marketplace. Number three is Walmart Vudu. Wow. Number four is PlayStation Store. Number five is Amazon. I would have never imagined that Microsoft Zune Video Marketplace would be number two. And I'm surprised about Walmart. They got huge power out there. For those of you running Lion, Dropbox app has finally been updated with Lion integration. You can go out and get that and update it. Also, if you've got an aging MacBook, hey, you know what you can do to speed that baby up? Consider a solid-state drive. I'm not going to promote them specifically, but OWC obviously has great great kits. Makes it real easy to do. And they basically give you step-by-step instructions, even provide you tools to do it. So anyway, consider OWC. They're not an advertiser here, but I have used their services in the past. Teachers in Missouri are basically suing to stop the ban of them being able to send private messages to their students. Basically, Missouri Teachers Association sued to block provisions of the new state law that would require schools to ban private electronic communications between teachers and students. It says this bill was designed to protect school children from sexual misconduct, but they say this is going to cause more harm than what the law intends. So we'll see where they go with that. iOS 5 has some references to LTE, so we're suspecting with the installation of LTE modules in Apple stores, we're going to see an LTE phone soon. And of course, that's leading towards implementation on Verizon and probably with T-Mobile as well. Well, with the big announcement last week of HP, Microsoft has started courting the web OS developers, and over 1,000 of them have made the leap. So basically, so far, close to 1,000 web OS developers have gotten contact with the individual at Microsoft. And basically, the only stipulation Microsoft made was that the developers must have had their application already published in web OS. App catalog. I don't even know how many were available. So we'll see what happens here with this. But I think Microsoft is trying to attract developers, and they're using cash to do it. As I announced earlier, Skype has purchased GroupMe. So congratulations for Skype for doing that. We were actually using GroupMe during CES 2011. And hey, this is a great article. It's over here on Torrent Freak, and it's a good read. And I'm going to make this the article of the day. I'm not even going to go into the details of it, but here is just a piece. Here's the title of it: The Failed Battle to Stop the World's First Camcorder Pirates. And you guess what year that battle was taken? In 1920. Now, not camcorder in the way we define it today, but I think you'll find this article to be very entertaining and parallels a lot of the things that are being done in the IP space that necessarily didn't translate to IP space back then, but some of the technology they used to try to prevent camcorder pirates. And I think you'll find the article entertaining. Link will be up in the show notes, of course, and I'll star it. Hey, those of you that are on Hotmail, the folks at Windows Live have got some tips on how to get more reminders from your Hotmail calendar. Is anybody really using a Hotmail still? I don't think I've seen a Hotmail email come in a long time. There's also a rumor out there that an Intel executive has said that they've heard Apple may switch to the ARM processor. Oh, that's interesting. Moving to ARM. You know, Apple already uses ARM in iPad and iPhone, and you know that switching to ARM for the notebook would be a big deal, and we know that ARM processors have never been used in full-powered personal computers. I just wonder if they could ever ramp up to have the type of performance that Intel can provide them. I don't know. Time will tell. Hey, Ogizmo, if you want, how many of you get tired of pinching the toothpaste? Well, I got two gadgets for you, one real cheap and one real expensive, and I think I'll opt for the cheap version. They're selling toothbrushes now with a little hole in it. You can stick your tube of toothpaste in to squeeze it up, and they've got a little fancy roller that you could put on your bathroom sink. I'm looking at that little fancy roller that they presented, and I'm thinking to myself, that thing would be dirty in 3 days with, you know, how stuff splatters in the bathroom. There's no way. It looks pretty in the picture, but it's just not practical for most houses. Logitech has released the N600 Touch Lap Desk. Pretty cool little lap desk. What I like about it, it's got a little slide-out tray that has a little touchpad on it. Pretty cool. This pretty handy gadget. And then a couple other products they have here is a wing stand for those of you that wanted to use a keyboard, the Apple a little mini Bluetooth keyboard. That's what I actually use with my Mac Pro is just a little tiny keyboard. I set it on my lap because I don't do a lot of typing and just do video editing and don't need to use a keyboard much. But for those of you that want to use that keyboard with an iPad, there's a nice little stand out that you can use, which is pretty cool. And finally, ladies, I'm sure most of you will not buy this swimsuit, but for $90, you can have a Game Boy print swimsuit. Yes, a Game Boy print swimsuit. And anyway, it looks cool. Maybe some of you gadget gals out there would like to. It's a full-piece body, a full-piece swimsuit. It's kind of cute, but I don't know. You got to be a hardcore gamer to want to do that. But I'll have a link up in the show notes. Hey, Akamai has a great article, and this is really long. I don't want to get into the full details of this, but they talk about the future of streaming video and some of the challenges that are forthcoming and what we may be seeing in our homes and the reason why we need to keep pounding our hands against the wall and floors and tables and going to utility commissions and saying we need more speed, because we're going to need more speed, folks, with all this cool stuff coming. And if this Akamai article doesn't get you motivated to be out there charging for more bandwidth, then nothing will. And guess what happened to Fox? Well, people are pretty upset about the 8-day delay for non-authenticated viewers of its shows online. They had a huge spike, huge, monumental spike in BitTorrent traffic as soon as Fox shut them down. They're going to get them legally, or they're going to not get them at all. If you don't want to watch the videos that Hulu throws up and other online video players, there's a good ad block video. It's a new app. Have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. I'm going kind of loose going here, because right now most of my articles on my browser did not load in the Chrome reload, so I'm actually reading the title and updating you guys from what I saw in the article before. If you ever wanted to really figure out how to get past dial 1, press star, press 2, press 3 to get to an operator, well, there's a new site that helps you skip the phone support queue. And great ways to get to customer service much quicker. I have a link up in the show notes for that. All right, Sony has dropped the PlayStation 3 price in the United States to $250, and it's £250 in Europe. So seems unfair. It seems like a lot more money in Europe for the PlayStation. But anyway, it's now been dropped to 250 US. And actually, with the yen rate the way it is, it's 77 yen to the dollar. That sucker ought to be really cheap here. Actually, more expensive. Japanese products should be more expensive now. So they're taking a big hit on that. Can you imagine 70? And yes, gold busted $1,900 an ounce today. Totally amazing. All right, for those of you who have WDTV Live, I know a number of you do, Hulu Plus is now available on that device, so definitely check that out. Last couple of articles here. Verizon Wireless LTE expansion is 15 new markets on September 15th, and here's who getting LTE. Reno, Moorhead, Minnesota, Fargo, North Dakota, Iowa City, Iowa, Canton, Lima, and Mansfield, Ohio. 3 counties in California, and 5 additional markets in Illinois. Well, if you're in one of those markets, you're going to be getting LTE shortly. Enjoy the speed for a short time when it's turned on. And here's the last one. My wife, she drives me crazy. Ever since we've been married, when we get a loaf of bread, after it's open, it ends up in the refrigerator. She is always telling me, it lasts longer when it's in the refrigerator. Yeah, it dries out, and, you know, it's, I hate it, but it's one of those things. Fellas, you know, when you're married, there's some things that you put up with, and you just keep your mouth shut because it's not worth the fight. But I was so happy today to send her an article from Lifehacker that talks about storing bread at room temperature, not in the fridge, gives you 4 to 6 times the freshness. It may get green mold on it quicker, but if you got a family like I do with 3 kids, that I got a son that's like, eat, that boy can eat, and he doesn't stop eating. It's breakfast, he eats twice as much as we do. Lunch, he's consuming some food, so bread just gets like, bam, it's gone. So I sent this to her today. I'm expecting a phone call. And she's going to say, what? But it's my little way of kind of poking back, saying, quit putting the bread in the fridge. Matter of fact, for a while, she had her bread in the fridge and my bread on the counter. Funny thing was, when she would make sandwiches sometimes, she would use my bread. I said, go get your own bread out of the refrigerator. Don't eat my bread. Anyway, that was the last article. I just wanted to share with you guys a little fun. Okay, let me go ahead here and look at email. I got a number of emails in today, actually over the last couple of days, and some people actually responded as well over on Google Plus today when I did a call out. Matter of fact, some stuff came in from Google Plus the last show that we didn't actually get into the show. So let me see if I can, let's look at the last date we did it. We did the show on the 19th. So let me scroll down here to, when will this be? Yes, right here is when it would have been good. All right, let's see if we can get the, oh yes, we have failed to connect to the server. Well, I'm glad this is already pre-cached. What I've got going on here is I've got my little MiFi device from Verizon, the little connection. If you don't run the browser or something for about 15 minutes, it just like kind of disconnects, so I need to change the default. Oh, there's another person, Glenn. Glenn, also in Albuquerque. So Pete, Jay, Sam, and Glenn, Wednesday night, okay? It's Pete and Glenn are the same name in the email. All right, so Pete, you already got your message. Okay. Next one here is from Mark. And, of course, is this going to load? Oh, you piece of crap. You got to be kidding me. All right, let's try a little experiment here, see if I can recover without going over our time limit, because I definitely don't want to not finish the show here without getting through all the email, because I've got a lot. And if I do that, it's going to ask me to log into the network. All right, let's go ahead and I'll cancel. Let's try reloading the browser, reloading Thunderbird, and see what happens here. You know, bandwidth in hotels, oh man, it sucks so bad. It really sucks so bad. All right, come on, Thunderbird, load. I know I've asked you to do a lot, machine. This little dual-core laptop that I have is, this poor thing is like way, way, way underpowered. I almost bought a machine last week to replace it, but to just try not to spend as much money right now. Okay, see, is this going to allow me to do this? Oh, Verizon, you are just peeing me off. All right, let's try connecting. You guys just got to love this. Let's connect to the Hilton Honors. Okay, we'll connect to that. And it's going to want me to come and verify. So that means I'm going to have to load Firefox. Aye. So, are you guys enjoying me having frustrations here at the end of the show? As some of you are probably already tuning off. We do have a lot of good email to go through today. And I don't know if this thing's going to connect now or not. I should have left the Sprint connection up. The Sprint connection never dies when it's on. But basically, I'm getting a little more speed out of the Verizon connection right now. And that seems to be working good. Of course, now the audio recording is going to take a hit because I'm loading the browser up. Oh, come on. Don't do that to me, sweetheart. And what it is I didn't pre-cache all the email in Thunderbird. And that's why I'm having challenges loading the email, because I've got everything set up on IMAP. And unless I pre-cache to the show, it doesn't want to cooperate. So I guess maybe what we'll do here is let me look at the topics and see if I can get through these with the topics. It's better. There's some good emails here. I want to read them. So maybe we'll have to save them to the next show. And Thunderbird's trying to update. You can't update right now. And, well, let's say it's connecting. Okay. Is it going to error on me? Gosh, gotta love being on the road. And this is the point where I really just sometimes I want to scream. But I can't, and the hard drive's just going crazy. Well, I guess what we'll do is we'll wrap it here. And I'm sorry for everyone that sent emails and everyone that sent all the good stuff. I mean, when it rains, it pours. Oh, here, we got one to load. Robert says, hey, Todd, pay attention to the iOS 5 update. They're saying the Japanese users now have an option to have earthquake alerts sent to their phone. That's a good one, Robert. Thanks for that. I have a link in the show notes for this. Oh, we're working here. Good. So we'll see how long this lasts. He says, you may ever have this. It's about Google mapping the Amazon River. Good luck with the show. This came from Robert as well. It's a BBC article. I'll have that link up in the show notes. I got an email here from Dave. Boy, when things start to work, they start to work. Say, hey, Todd, you were recently talking about Google acquiring Motorola and the Motorola cable DVR cable boxes. You did not mention that Google acquired Sage TV. As we've talked about in the past, he says Sage TV is by far the best computer-driven DVR solution. There's speculation that Google may be trying to compete with the cable companies with their Google TV. So far, Google TV has been a miserable failure. Perhaps adding Sage TV to it will make it better. The Sage TV, I think we've already read this one. The Sage TV community was shocked when the acquisition took place without any warning. No license or products were for sale. Immediately after the acquisition, no license products were for sale. After the acquisition, almost no news about the future of Sage TV and Google was Google TV was released. Total silence from Google. Cloud-based DVR solution might be what Google is attempting. The bandwidth caps will kill any possibility of a cloud-based DVR unless Google has a way around the bandwidth caps. Dave out of Minnesota. Got an email here from Greg. He says, hey, Todd, my wife made an extensive use of Chegg, C-H-E-G-G, and we talked about this on the last show, when she picked up her second degree a few years ago. She had a B.S. in education and picked up a B.S. in nursing. Basically, you rent your textbook, you pay a certain amount, and then when the semester's over, you ship it back. I believe they have stuff in place to keep the textbooks looking new, and you get dinged if you write in them. At any rate, my wife paid about half versus what even a used textbook price would have been. That's huge. On another note, I saw this article about a browser-based tool for recording your Google Plus Hangout chats. Oh, very cool. Well, I'll look at that, Greg. Thanks. Of course, Greg is one of the Ohana down in Austin. Got an email here from Lamar. Lamar's out of Chicago. Say, hey, Todd, I've been using Google Voice over a year and canceled my texting plan. I think pushing people to use another messenger platform would make the greedy companies chill out. Live profiles is pretty good as well. I wish more people would use universal platform. Right now, texting seems to work across different devices. Lamar, what is everyone using out there for texting apps and stuff? But Lamar, thanks for that. I definitely appreciate it. But you're using use another live profile, I guess. Is that what you're using? So tell me what you're using, Lamar. Tell me about the whole process. I got an email from Billy. I sent you your Google Plus invite. Thanks for being part of the Ohana here. I got an email from Nicholas. Said, hey, sorry I forgot to give. Let's read the first one. Todd, I just wanted to write you about AES being cracked. The article you talked about on show 697, I wanted to give some clarification to you or any listener that may be concerned about the article by giving a quick explanation of what was broken and what it means. Basically, what they found was an expansion on a slight vulnerability that was discovered about 2 years ago in a portion of the AES encryption algorithm known as key scheduling. The advancement on this vulnerability that they found that was that instead of needing four related keys to weaken the strength, they only needed a single key, which has a 4-to-1 strength reducing on AES key strength. Therefore, if you had a 28-bit key, then it would reduce the strength down to 126 bits of the key strength. But the good news is that the vulnerability does not affect anything encrypted with a 256-bit AES key. But to simplify all my ramblings above, what all of this comes down to is if you wanted to break a 128-bit AES key, it would take about 1 trillion computers that could test 1 billion keys per second for a total of 2 billion years to crack the key, as opposed to the 8 billion years that it had taken before. Furthermore, with the current computer processing power that we have in computers, they can only test around 10 million keys per second, so AES is still one of the strongest encryption algorithms that we have. Also, I like the format shown, and don't mind the longer shows at all. Thanks, Nick. And Nick, I think we did talk about the 50,000 years or something like that to break the key, but thanks for the breakdown on that. Got an email here from Gary. It says, interesting read, doubly so for your business. Have fun in Albuquerque. And it's about automotive internet radio market set to boom. And I can't wait for this segment to get out there. Got an email here from Johnny. Said, hey, Todd, I see this story similar to the past WisconsinNet story and covered a few months ago. And this is an article that was in the Madison.com website. It was a Wall Street Journal article. And I'll have this link up in the show notes for you. I had not pre-read this, John, so I apologize. But anyway, telecom industry battle over, UW system battle over broadband. I think we talked about that, but I'll have that. We'll go over and review that as well. Talked about that in a previous show. I got an email from Frank. He said, commend you for keeping the focus on the issues, government surveillance, and suppression of free speech. Thank you, Frank, for that. And keep your good articles coming to me as well. Got an email here from Bruce. He said, hey, I hooked up my Xbox 360, one of my Dell Ultra U2410s. Wow, it's awesome. Now to get the audio stuff worked out, I have a small delay using Audio Hijack Pro, still very playable. So he hooked up your Xbox 360 to one of your Dell Ultra Sharp U2410s. What are you doing with it? I guess I don't fully understand what you're doing, Bruce. Okay, so I think that gets me done with... Oh, I got an email here from Ron. He said, I was listening to your rant about Canada's... Oh, yep. We already talked about his comment on the last show. All right, we're good here, and we're still about an hour and 15. All right, everybody, thanks for hanging out. Geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline, of course, is 619-342-7365, 619-342-7365. I want you to jump on and send me an email or a voicemail, and love to hear your feedback. Look forward to meeting up with everyone here in Albuquerque, Pete, Jay, and Sam on Wednesday night. Email will go out to you tonight. Everyone, thanks. We'll see you next time. Thanks for hanging out with me. Till next time, take care and aloha from Albuquerque.